You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome back to the program. Final hour, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Had some technical difficulties prior to the end of last hour, but everything is good. The big German fixed it. Yay. He might have broken it, but he fixed it, though. We'll get to phone calls coming up. Justin Herbert of my Chargers will join us coming up a little bit. What happened was I couldn't hear myself in my headphones. Microphone worked, and I couldn't hear the Danettes either. And I was playing Jerry West's sound, where Jerry was talking about the teams that passed on Luka Doncic. And then all of a sudden, I couldn't hear Jerry and wasn't sure when it ended. And all of a sudden, just started talking. And then we had to open the door to the man cave to the other side so the Danettes would then just yell to me because I couldn't hear them even if their microphone was on. Yes, Paulie?
When the Jerry West clip was playing, you started talking over it like Fritzy when we had on
Marv Albert.
Yeah. And we're like, I'm looking at him, I go, is Dan losing it? What's he doing here? He's talking over the clip.
Yeah. Well, people have thought I lost it before. Yes, he did.
It was almost the way it sounded, like you were arguing with Jerry West. Because you were like, yes. he's talking about this thing. And you're like, well, not exactly. I mean, whoa, Dan, what?
Jerry. Your hero.
It's Jerry, what are you doing?
Yeah, well, when I couldn't hear myself, I thought that you couldn't hear Jerry West. So in fairness to Jerry West, this is what Jerry had to say to Terrell Owens on his podcast about Luka Doncic.
Luka Doncic. Mm-hmm. What was he, the fifth player in the draft?
Right.
Oh, my God.
And look at him.
I can't believe that someone let him go. Right. I can't. Right. He was a unique kid at 15 years of age. He was competing against men in Europe. He's 15 years, but not competing, excelling.
That's Jerry West. His entire answer to Terrell Owens in his podcast.
79 is the new 78. You realize
that. Todd.
I'll be watching it. I hope it gets off.
That's when Todd, for some reason, didn't know his microphone was on. With
first day, trying to figure out how to be in broadcasting with a microphone. Was a disaster.
I like how Todd goes, yeah, good line. It's like,
but then I doubled down and I continued to talk again in the middle of it.
Play it again. Here's Todd with Hall of Famer Marv Albert.
79 is the new 78. You realize
that. Todd.
I'll be watching it. I hope it gets off.
I like how Marv Albert doesn't even stop.
What a professional.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what's going on in the background there, but I'll continue my thought.
Yeah, Foley.
I like the middle where Todd goes, up. I don't even know what he said there.
Yeah. Well, there's always the Bill Hader interview where Todd leaves his microphone on when he's laughing at Bill Hader when Bill Hader is doing his Dateline and... Do you have that, Seton, on short notice?
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about the DNA. Oh, that pesky DNA.
So bad. I love that line, and I love this impersonation, but that cackle has no place on any airwaves.
No, we know you loved it. It was just you had your microphone on during the interview.
I don't know why I needed to share my laugh with everyone.
The guy, he shot me. Shot you a dirty look? No. He shot me with a gun.
It's like your own Ed McMahon.
So bad on so many levels.
79 is the new 78.
And it's a bad laugh.
Yeah.
It's a bad interrupting laugh.
It's the best.
Final hour here of the Dan Patrick Show. Monday Night Football, it was Lamar Jackson in not a career-defining moment, but certainly one you add to your resume tape when you look back on his career, and we will focus on that fourth quarter, what he did against the Colts. He had baseball last night. The Red Sox close out the Rays. The Giants up 2-1 on the Dodgers. Max Scherzer gave you a performance that you would expect out of a Hall of Famer. He did everything. He had 10 strikeouts, 3 hits. Went 7 innings, no run support, gave up a home run to Evan Longoria, and now your season is on the brink. Braves up 2-1 in the Brewers, 3 baseball playoff games today and tonight. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. Through 5 weeks, you'd think that you could start making reasonable predictions about the NFL. But one of the reasons that it's hard to make picks is really it comes down to health, because you're trying to figure out these quarterbacks. Can they stay healthy? One extra game. They're running more than ever. MVP hopeful Josh Allen carried 11 times for the Bills in the win against the Chiefs. Trey Lance ran the ball in the loss to the Cardinals. Now he's dealing with a sprained knee. Joe Burrow had to go to the hospital after getting hit in the throat. Daniel Jones stumbling on camera after he suffered a concussion. Quarterbacks are as athletic as ever. So are the defenders. There's a risk with your team one play away from having the season change in an instant. But Lamar Jackson was wonderful last night. Here's his head coach, John Harbaugh.
It's one of the greatest performances I've ever seen. It wasn't easy. It wasn't like we came out just, you know, up and down the field. We had to overcome and fight through some things. He was under pressure. He created plays with his feet, threw the ball away when he had to throw it away. And then once we started going in, you know, when we were in that situation you're talking about, Jameson, we went into our fast mode, no huddle, two-minute type mode. He just came alive, and all of our guys did. I mean, all the guys who made plays, you know, in the offensive line. But it starts with Lamar, and he deserves the credit.
Lamar Jackson ranks in the top eight in both passing yards and rushing yards this season. Fifth in passing yards. He's eighth in rushing right now in the NFL. Poll question for the final hour, McLovin.
Okay, I updated it based on your first take. Which was a bigger whiff, letting Luka Doncic fall to number three in the 2018 draft behind Marvin Bagley and DeAndre Ayton, or letting Justin Herbert fall to number six in the 2020 draft behind Joe Burrow, Chase Young, Jeff Okuda, Andrew Thomas, and Tua?
Well, I would say Luka, because Luka is, I know, is going to be a Hall of Famer. I don't know about that, you know, with Justin Herbert. Although, when Jimmy Johnson said on Fox's pregame show he would take Justin Herbert over Patrick Mahomes, I was like, okay, got my attention with that. It just feels like, you know, normally the game doesn't come to as easily as it appears to with Justin Herbert. But the game comes easily to Luka Doncic as well. And he's been able to do that at a pretty high level. So I would say it's Luka. But let Justin Herbert have a couple of years under his belt. Plus, it's easier for Luka to have an impact on a game than it is with Justin Herbert, because Luka has the ball in his hands all the time. He's on the floor at all times, whereas Justin is only going to be as good as his wide receivers or his offensive line or, you know, the defense stopping the opposition. Yeah, McLovin.
What if Herbert wins a Super Bowl before Luka gets to the finals, though? Eventually, are we going to pressure Luka to win a title?
Well, I don't know if we pressure him, but I think you're going to have that expectation. That's why I said, you know, when people go, oh, he's going to be the MVP, and I said his team is not good enough for him to be the MVP. You can be a great player, but we expect your team to be great as well. And I think if Kristaps Porzingis is able to take his game to the next level, then maybe Dallas is one of those title-contending teams. Until then, Luka's just going to be a triple-double, and he'll have those fascinating moments, but they're not going to be a threatening team in the bigger picture. Yeah, Paulie.
Going back to Justin Herbert, when you're playing as well as he is for the Chargers, you forget about the criticisms. And I'm looking back at the pre-draft profiles. There are a lot of people who were not on his bandwagon.
Oh,
They said he had cooled off as a player. He had peaked at Oregon. He stayed maybe 1 year too long, and they saw some of his flaws. They said his ball placement was, he misses easy routes, bad footwork, runs too much. There was a lot of criticism, more criticism than there were of some of the other guys.
Well, I go back to Lamar Jackson. I remember scouts saying, one scout in particular who's his source, he said, you know, he's inconsistent, but he's dynamic, and he's not afraid of a big moment. Like, this is terminology that they use in their little inner circle, but he said, you know, these are things that we're looking for. Do you shy away? Do you want the ball? You try to make something happen. And, you know, watching Justin Herbert in the Rose Bowl, and you're seeing that athleticism. And it was a question of, can he be consistent? But that's the case with all of these quarterbacks. I mean, Josh Allen, if you look back, he wasn't necessarily a great high school quarterback, highly recruited. College, junior college. He goes to Wyoming, of all places. Not a football factory for quarterbacks. And then he goes to Buffalo. And, you know, I was told that Cleveland was going to draft him. And then they used that as sort of a smokescreen that they then were going to decide on Baker Mayfield. And if you gave Cleveland that opportunity now, they'd be like, oh, what were we thinking? We should have taken Josh Allen. Baker had proven it. He had played at a, you know, big-time program, won the Heisman, and we weren't sure about Josh Allen. In those first couple of years, I wasn't sure about Josh Allen. But once you figure it out, you understand it, and it's really like everything is about the speed of the game. How quickly do you get the play in? Do you call it? Do you look and you maybe audible And then how quickly you can get the ball out. Like, there's so many things that go into it in just one play. That's why when I was watching Trey Lance, he might be a wonderful talent. He's just not ready to play in the NFL. He got a long delivery, and, you know, when all else fails, you want to run. Like, those are things that make me nervous when it comes to Trey Lance. Unbelievable talent. But you don't win on just talent, because the guy who has the least athleticism at that position is still one of the leading candidates for MVP in Tom Brady. You make decisions, and you make them in real time. And it happens so quickly. And, you know, that's really what I find. That's the difference between good and great. Great and a Hall of Famer, right? Not running is a decision. Steve Young didn't become a Hall of Famer until he stopped running, because he probably could have been a running back in the NFL. He was that talented. But you have to be able to process, do it in real time, and then if you have to run. A lot of times it's like, not there, run. And that's where you get in trouble. Here's news that was just sent to me. The Nets GM Sean Marks announced that Kyrie will not play or practice with the team until he is, quote, eligible to be a full participant. In other words, he hasn't been vaccinated. Yeah, Paul.
I wonder if Kyrie's sitting out there right now going, mission accomplished.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I'll take November off.
Yeah, but I don't understand it. I'm hoping that he's not paid through all of this. Who knows with the, you know, the players union, like, you know, he should get paid. I have no idea what their fight would be. But, man, if I'm Kyrie, I'm angry. You know, I mean, KD, I'm angry. Like, dude, I came here. I want to win a championship. If you don't want to be here, then leave. But I want to be one of the greats of all time. I'd be angry. And James Harden, I think this is his last year there with the Nets. I really feel that way. That if they won, then James Harden would probably go someplace and say, you know what, let me be the star. Let me put up 30, 35 a game. Yeah, I've proven I won my championship here. Man, oh, man. Jason in Texas. Hey, Jace, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan, 64205. Hey. So help me out here. I'm confused. I thought that DeAndre Ayton had made it to the finals and Luka has not. So is that still not a good pick?
Would you take DeAndre Ayton and give me Luka Doncic?
That's tough. I'm a diehard Arizona fan, so I want to see the Arizona fans succeed. I guess you're right. But at this point, I mean, DeAndre's proven he can get to the finals. Luka has not.
Well, he's proven that he could get to the finals with Booker and Chris Paul. And he's a good player, but he's, you know, it's not where if you said, hey, DeAndre, you go to the Mavs and I'm going to put Luka on your Phoenix Suns. Who do you think's getting to the finals? Exactly. Kennedy in Louisville. Hey, Kennedy.
Hey, Dan, how are you?
Good, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, first, that DeAndre Ayton take was just horrendous. But anyways, I had a thought on your side. Right next to your desk, I see the silver medal from Tokyo, which is pretty awesome. Was curious if that's on purpose because you guys have never won a sports Emmy. I didn't know if, like, once you win, you'll get the gold. I don't know how that works. Was just curious. Thanks.
Well played, Kennedy. Well played. Yeah, I got a silver medal here. No gold. Just silver. But that's okay. It's just nice to get nominated. Do you guys want to get nominated but lose or not get nominated at all this year? Because I think what we did this year, we have to get nominated. We had that good a show. But if I said we're going to get nominated for the fifth consecutive year and lose the Sports Emmy, do you guys want to go through that again? Seton?
Definitely.
You want to be nominated?
Then not nominated?
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Okay. But we lose.
Well, yeah, if we're not nominated, we lose too.
Okay. Fritzy?
Absolutely. Keep the streak going, and eventually we'll get one at some
point. Okay. Paulie?
It's weird because they're both bad choices.
Yeah. Well, which one's worse?
Well, you feel like you fell off if you don't get nominated.
Yeah.
If you get nominated, lose. You're like, same as last year.
Yeah, I need to get nominated. That's all. Because then it feels like we're going against the big boys, you know, ESPN, you know, Fox, all these shows, and we're just a little group of 12 guys. and where I can't even get my headset to work.
Let's see them do it without a headset.
Yeah, man. Let me see that.
Yeah.
Pardon the interruption. Yeah, see.
So then would you rather know we're getting nominated and lose or roll the dice?
I guess I'd roll the dice. Just the possibility of maybe we sneak in there and win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because once we win, then I'm retiring. That's it.
It's you and me both, brother.
Yeah, so it's a walk-off.
I'm in.
Yeah, that's it. We win, I grab it, I walk. It's a walk-off.
Just holding out for that damn trophy.
Yeah.
We'll all break our headphones and get out of here.
Let's take a break. Justin Herbert will join us next. More phone calls as well here on the Dan Patrick Show. It's amazing. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. Fritzy still has a hard time understanding this.
It's a little confusing.
Yeah, but there's no limit on how much you can earn. That's amazing, right?
Everything has limits.
No, it's even more amazing because of all the places where Discover's accepted. 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover.
So basically everywhere you go.
Pretty much. Now, if you'd only take out your credit card and pay for something, you would learn
right,
that.
There you go.
Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report limitations like Todd apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Where other vans stop short, Mercedes-Benz vans go far beyond, from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, to their 5 stars sales, service, financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz vans built, equipped, engineered to be ready for anything. Go the extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. He's the quarterback of my Los Angeles Chargers. He's Justin Herbert, back on the program, coming off well, what's been a pretty good start for the Chargers so far. They got the Ravens coming up, which leads me to the obvious question. How much did you watch of the Ravens last night, Justin?
Yeah, I watched the entire game. But first off, thanks for having me back again. It's always a pleasure.
Okay, what do you take? Do you watch the offense? You watch the defense there and you take notes?
You watch the entire game. It's kind of different than the film you watch just because of the camera angles. But whatever you can watch, whatever you can pick up during the game, I think is a bonus, but to be able to go back and watch it later the following day, I think helps even more.
You're listed as a dual threat quarterback. So's Lamar Jackson. Do you feel like you're a dual threat when you see Lamar Jackson out there on the field?
I do not have the same skill set as he does.
You're a good runner. Lamar just seems like he might be just a little better runner than you.
Lamar's quicker, faster, stronger. He can do it all.
But do you try not to run?
I think running is an important job of the quarterback position, and obviously not taking hits too, because I think your ability is your availability. And as long as we're doing our job and you can extend plays and convert third and fourth downs, I think using the quarterback's legs, I think that's a huge part of our offense.
But I wonder, though, when you go through your progressions, probably when you're in college, you may not have gone through everything. You just take off and run and rely on your athleticism. But in the NFL, you might be fast, but those guys on the other side of the ball are pretty fast too. So, like, do you have to have a clock in your head or a reminder of go through your progressions and then take off?
Yeah, that's one of those things that our quarterback coach last year, Pep Hamilton, and I, we talked about the entire time. And as soon as I got here, he said, everyone on defense is faster than you. And as soon as you realize that, getting the ball out quickly and going through your reads is the most important job. And sometimes the pocket does break down where there's a lane that splits and you can find it. But other than that, it's all about getting the ball out quick and finding your completions.
But when you learn to slide playing baseball, I'm going to guess.
Yeah, correct.
Okay, but because there are a few quarterbacks that have never learned to slide, you and Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson seem to be pretty good because you played baseball. Some of these other guys, they have no idea how to slide.
It's not an easy thing to do. I think just having grown up playing baseball ever since I was in kindergarten, I feel like that's just a natural thing. And, you know, and Kyler and Russell, I'm sure they played baseball growing up. And it's one of those things that I think you just learn to do, and definitely something you have to spend time on if you haven't played baseball.
What is it about the month of October? I don't know if you know these numbers. Since last season, in games played in the month of October, 17 touchdowns, 1 interception. tied for the most touchdowns, fewest interceptions among starting quarterbacks in that month. You're tied with Tom Brady.
That's a pretty good guy to be in the conversation with.
But, you know, I kept saying, don't get your hair cut because your stats are going to drop off. And that was last year. I mean, you paid the price. I hope you learned your lesson.
I did. I know we've talked about that plenty of times, and I won't make the same mistake.
Take me back to when you're in grade school and you said you're going to be a professional quarterback and you're going to live in Los Angeles. Like, first of all, is that true? And if so, how did you come to that conclusion so young in your life?
It is true. I think the more impressive thing is for my mom to have kept that piece of paper from elementary school. And she probably could have looked at it and said, you know what, this, we're not going to keep this. But she ended up keeping it, and we looked back at it. And, you know, I think it's just one of those awesome things where if you put your mind to it, you can do anything. And it kind of worked out pretty well.
Just so you know, you're not a parent yet. But when you are, you know, your wife will keep everything, just so you know. All those little, I got Valentine's Day cards from my, I kept everything. So that kind of thing, if my son wrote down he wanted to be the quarterback for the Packers, I would have kept it, and then I would have embarrassed him the whole time when he realized he was not an athlete. So, yes, mom does keep all of those things. So, and thankfully, she did.
Yeah, that's good to know, though, because that was definitely a long time ago. So,
what do you do on a day off?
Watch film. The quarterbacks will come in and lift, and then right after that, we'll watch film for a couple of hours.
Yeah, but that's not a day off, though, Justin.
Technically, it kind of is our day off, but, you know, you have to use all the time that you can to get advantage and get ahead of the schedule, because we don't have a whole lot of time during the day, and especially during the week. So any time that we can get, we got to use.
Yeah, but isn't there part of you that goes, I gotta take a break from this?
I think you could look at it that way. I think I love football enough that I don't really ever want to get away from it. And I think when I do have off time, I think that's kind of – the tough part is I need something to do. I need to watch football. I need to play football. So it's kind of weird like that.
But play golf, like a day that you just do video games, like you tell coach, hey, I'm going to take a personal day and go play golf or something. Does it work that way?
I don't think so. Yeah, I think maybe if you've got 15, 20 years in the league, but not yet.
Whose posters did you have on your wall growing up?
I had a Joey Harrington one. From Oregon.
Okay, that makes sense.
And I still have that in my room. So,
wait, in Los Angeles, you have the Joey Harrington?
No, back home in Eugene.
Oh, okay.
Back
I didn't home. Know you brought Joey. Nah. To well, anybody else? Any other quarterbacks?
No, I think that was the only one. I think that was a picture of him scoring on a quarterback throwback, and I think an early bowl game in maybe 2002 against Texas. I can't remember which game it was, but
now you talked about, you knew you wanted to be a professional quarterback. When did you know you wanted to be Oregon's starting quarterback?
I grew up being an Oregon fan. So maybe as soon as I knew what football was, kindergarten, first, second grade, we started going to all these Oregon games, and my parents would always take me. And that was kind of always the goal, whether that was realistic at the time, I didn't know. I think as soon as I got to high school and started playing and kind of started to get some attention, I kind of realized that maybe it was a little more realistic than I thought.
He's the Chargers quarterback, Justin Herbert. The Chargers just beat the Browns, and he threw for 4 touchdowns, also ran for another one. How do you explain that fourth quarter?
We've watched it a couple times. We've talked about it. I don't know. To put up 34 points in the second half like that, and it really was a shootout, more of like a college football game kind of than we imagined. But I thought it was great for our offense to be able to answer so many times. And, you know, sometimes that's the NFL, and sometimes you're going to give up 6 points, and sometimes you're going to give up a lot of points. And it's all about complementing the other side of the ball. And I thought it was a win by all three phases on Sunday.
Did you say hello to Myles Garrett at all? Because that defensive front usually is pretty ferocious there.
Yeah, I talked with him after the game. He is tough to block. He is about as special as it gets. And the combination of speed, toughness, agility, there's no one else like him.
Can you hear those guys coming?
No, I think everything calms down so much noise wise that it's more all visual, and sometimes you just feel it. And you know, you've got maybe 1 or 2 seconds in the pocket before it collapses. So It's definitely a tough situation.
Explain that feel that you have to have in the pocket, because we look at guys like, you know, Brady, just it's a little movement here or there. Like, how is that something learned, or is it just something in your DNA?
Yeah, I think it is something you can learn. I think it's a lot of experience and feeling that the leverage of the defender. And sometimes with those quick movements, like you mentioned, you can buy just enough time to be able to get the throw off. And I think that's what Tom Brady's been so good at, is he's got such a great feel in the pocket that he's able to step up, avoid the rush, and get the ball out on time.
What's been the biggest improvement for you?
I think understanding the offense and learning about defenses have been huge this offseason. I've spent a lot of time with Shane Day, Chase Daniel, and Easton Stick just talking about defenses on our offense and having a good feel for it. And so that when we go out on Sunday, you can recognize the coverage, see the fronts, you can see everything and not spend too much time worrying about it.
I mentioned this earlier when it comes to quarterbacks and how you process. You have to do everything and you get like 15 or 20 seconds. Send the play in, maybe send two plays in, get to the line of scrimmage. You got to call out coverage. I mean, can you explain that? Just let people understand that it's not as easy as it appears to be, and give me real time getting the play or plays and then what happens.
Yeah. So everything is signaled in through the radio and our helmets. And then you repeat the play, and sometimes they get pretty long. And so those are stuff that you've got to study all week, and 15, 16 word calls are definitely tough, but you go into the huddle, you repeat the play, tell everyone what to do. You break the huddle, you see the coverage, whether you have any run tags or kills or alerts, you got to be ready for those. But you get up to the line of scrimmage, you run the play, and then you do the whole thing again.
Okay, give me a complex play. It just called in, and what's it going to be?
Last year, we'd go fleet right, 335 max, F seam, dag, kill. You know, you could throw on whatever you want. They get pretty long, and it's just stuff you got to really study.
Anybody ever looked at you and not known what you're talking about in the huddle?
No, everyone else has been really good. Sometimes I've messed up calls. Try going in.
Wait, how's that happen that you don't know what you're talking about?
There's just so many plays, and you got to worry about so much. And sometimes you mess up, like whether it's a tag to the Z or the F. And so sometimes the words just get split up in your mind. So it's tough.
Your headset ever go out?
A couple times. And so that's when you just have to go with a play that you know everyone can run. And depending on the personnel you have out on the field, you got to make a split decision.
Do you practice quarterback sneaks?
We do, actually. So we've actually talked a lot about that. And with Joe Lombardi, he's kind of talked a lot about how Drew Brees has done it. And he's been really successful over the years. So we've kind of implemented a lot of things that he's been able to do.
And Brady, I mean, he scores all of it. He's the king of the sneak.
Yeah, it's a really tough play to stop. And to be able to stop that, stop the run, and stop the play action pass, it's not an easy job.
But when you go up to the line, you go up to your center, do you tap him on the right or left cheek if you're going to do a quarterback sneak?
It's kind of known which direction. We kind of talk about that the prior to the game.
Oh, okay. Because I don't want you to give away secrets here that when you go to the line of scrimmage and you're tapping your center on the cheek there. Do people recognize you in L.A.?
I don't really spend too much time outside of, the building and my house. And, it hasn't really been too much of an issue. I don't think people care too much about it.
But wait, do you have any fun?
Football's fun. Showing up here to the building every day and spending time with my teammates, this is the best.
I could imagine that I could find some fun in LA that it might not be my home and my office.
Yeah. Fortunately, we're about an hour south of LA. So, you know, we're kind of separated, and I think it's a great area that we're in, and being able to spend it with the teammates and all this responsibility that we have, you have to be held accountable. So staying safe.
Congrats. I like you're a nerd, you're a grinder. Yeah. You know, you're doing all the right things there, and don't try to match Lamar, you know, run for run. Okay.
I'll do my best. I'm going to get down. I'm not going to take any hits, and that's,
yeah, slide. Yep, just exactly. Remember, slide. My Chargers. Great to talk to you again, Justin. Thank you very much, and congrats.
Awesome. Thank you again.
That's Justin Herbert of my Oregon Ducks and my L.A. Chargers there. I don't know. I'm 23, and I'm in L.A. Like, I got to – can I go to Hooters or something? Like, I got to do something here. Buffalo Wild Wings? Yeah, Paulie.
If I'm a Charger fan, I love what I just heard. This guy's staying in, watching tape on a Saturday night. That's how you win a Super Bowl. Guys go out, don't win Super Bowls. The tape guys.
Oh, yeah, they do.
They do?
Joe Namath did.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Justin Herbert's sitting there on an off day watching tape.
I remember when I was around the Buffalo Bills when they lost four consecutive, and they went out. You know, I kept thinking, man, I don't know if you should be going out. But they would go out. The one in Minneapolis, when they're like, yeah, we want to go to Prince's place. And I'm like, I don't think that's good. Yeah, Seton.
I mean, the obvious line here, maybe they should have stayed in.
I know. But see, we've been staying in and getting ready for the show every single day. No Emmys.
Well.
Yeah, Paulie.
I think we have a new shirt for Charger fans, though. You asked Justin Herbert, does he have any fun? He said, football's fun.
Yeah.
That's it.
Football is fun.
Football is fun.
Football.
Charger football. It's fun.
And they got the Ravens coming up. That's a pretty good start there. Pretty good start. Yeah, McLovin.
The team that the Bills lost so dramatically to, the Cowboys stayed in a lot, right? That 90s Cowboys.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I think Troy did. I think Troy was Troy might have been the only Cowboy who stayed in. Felt like there were a couple other guys that may have stayed out for a few people. Yes, Todd.
And didn't they get them twice in a row, if my memory serves?
The Cowboys and the Bills?
Yeah. It was 2 years in a row Dallas beat the Bills.
Yes, Paulie.
Those Cowboys are just so lucky they weren't in the social media era. You know, Michael Irvin, there's no internet back then. They didn't even have internet.
But there's a few of those teams. You know, even the Bulls, you know, Jordan's Bulls. Michael's career, social media, could have gone differently. The Mets in 86, that's as crazy as I've ever been around. Social media with those guys. I'm trying to think, who else? The Cowboys, of course. Yes, Todd.
I don't know, just from watching it recently, the 86 Mets, how could they have possibly functioned on a daily basis? Never mind winning the World Series. They were like completely going out of control, some of those guys on that team.
Thank you, Todd.
You're welcome.
I remember interviewing somebody with the Mets, and they still had alcohol on their breath from the night before. But then I remember interviewing Billy Martin, and Billy had alcohol in his breath. This was the night of a game at Yankee Stadium. I remember interviewing somebody with the Mets. I'm like, that has to be from last night, I'm guessing. Maybe not. With Billy, you never knew. But pretty interesting group of players, teams to cover. Yeah, McLovin.
Did guys smoke cigarettes in the locker room in the 80s?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's probably not going to come back like as a thing.
I don't think so. But they would be smoking in the dugout, you know, during BP, prior to a game. They'd just fire up a heater. Yeah, Paul.
Imagine if you cut the sidelines during a big game and Justin Herbert's just wolfing down a cool.
Smoking a heater. Jack in Michigan. Hey, Jack, what's on your mind today?
Dan, nice to talk to you.
Thanks, Jack. What's on your mind?
Hey, I commend you. You've got a good team going there. You got some good personalities. You just don't quite have enough to get over the top for the sports Emmy.
Yeah.
I think McLovin is good. He's kind of the geek freak is what we call him.
Yeah.
Not quite the same as the Greek freak.
Mm-hmm.
But... Mm. If I could guarantee you a sports Emmy, would you do it? If you had Costas and Michaels, they don't like to work too much. Just have them for sweeps week, win the Emmy. Would you take it or not?
No, I would not. I win with my guys. I lose with my guys.
Usually lose.
Yeah, I don't. Actually, I don't win with my guys, but I lose with my guys. I got a snot bubble there. Yes, McLovin.
If you could bring Al Michaels for sweep weeks and get us at Emmy, we'd be okay with that.
I thought he was going to ask, if I could get rid of you and we win a sports Emmy, would you do it? And I'd say absolutely yes.
Wait, my headphones aren't working.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
By the way, I was flattered when you called Justin Herbert a nerd. I thought that was an homage to the back row there. He seems like a back row
just
guy.
Just you. Todd's not a nerd. Like you are.
Yeah. Well, Todd's not.
I don't have much of a social life. I could, I could slip into that.
I think you're just lame. You're not a nerd.
Lame.
Yeah, just different.
Didn't go away to college.
Yeah,
you're just lame.
Stayed at home.
What's bad? What's more? I think he just insulted me more than McLovin.
Stayed at home with your mom.
I have cookies, okay? I have a girl in the room, Mom. She doesn't want cookies. We already discussed this 10 minutes ago. No cookies.
And you had? Did you have to leave your bedroom door open?
Yeah, it was the open door policy of FDR. The door had to be like half open. Like, I'm only a junior in college and I'm 20. Just keep the door open.
And then your mom would, she would find reasons to.
Who wants pizza? Come on. It's 11 a.m. We don't want any lunch, nothing. Stop. We don't want chocolate chip cookies. Please, embarrassing.
Let's take a break. and we'll come back. Well, last call for phone calls, what we learn, what's in store tomorrow, right after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
He's Mike Harmon, I'm Dan Beyer, and we have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Last call for phone calls. What we learn, what's in store tomorrow. Nothing else new on the John Gruden front. I'm curious if more emails are leaked. If I'm the commissioner, I'd be curious who's doing the leaking, because this person might be just leaking John Gruden emails now. What happens if some other sensitive emails that might have to do with other owners get leaked here? Because it feels like it's open season here. 650,000 emails they're sorting through. And the only ones so far that have been leaked had to do with John Gruden. By the way, first 20 games for Justin Herbert, 50 touchdowns, 44 passing, 6 rushing. He has almost 6,000 passing yards. That's so far for Justin Herbert. All right, final results of the poll question, McLovin.
So hour three was, which was a bigger whiff, letting Justin Herbert fall to number 6 or letting Luka Doncic fall to number 3? Actually, Herbert wins the poll.
He does?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, recency bias, he just had a good appearance.
Yeah,
I think
he did.
That helps. Luka wasn't on the show today.
Yeah. By the way, remember J.R. Smith, former NBA player? He went back to college. He wanted to play golf, North Carolina A&T. He started playing this year for his college team. And during competition, he stepped in a beehive while playing a hole, and he had to require medical attention. So he was playing in the final round of the Elon Phoenix Invitational in Burlington, North Carolina. Hit a shot into the woods, went in, and he stepped. I shouldn't laugh, but I am laughing. Why are you laughing? Because I once stepped on a beehive. It was, I don't know who's in the ground, if those are hornets, but I remember stepping on a beehive that was in the ground and nearly killed me. I probably got stung 40 times. I remember they threw me in a bathtub and threw ice on me because they were worried I was going to go into shock. So I've been there when you run into a pile of bees or hornets or whatever it was, but JR was clearly in some pain, and I guess he got stung around his legs, his ankles. Yes, Eden.
Once when I was little, my older brother, there was a bee flying around sort of by my backside, and my older brother was like, just sit on it and you'll kill it. Oh. And so I sat on it and it stung me, and I was like, and my mom and dad are like, what happened? I'm like, dude, he told me to sit on a bee and it stung me. Yeah.
Brothers are the best.
When I stepped on this beehive, I was with a friend, and my friend was faster than me. So Tom took off, and these bees just crushed me. And I'm running, and I'm running so hard. I was like Rich Eisen running the 40, and I wasn't going anywhere. And these guys are just, you could just hear them buzzing by me, and they were angry. And they couldn't get Tom, but they got me. And, you know, once again, I took one for the team. It's like you got to be faster than the slowest guy. So if we were ever chased by a bear,
there we go,
Fritzy would be the one who got caught. But I did go to Tom's house, and his mom threw me in a bathtub. They just threw ice on me, and then eventually took me to the hospital. But That's one of those where you're like, wow, that was a little different. Yes, McLovin.
This is not going to make me sound cool, but I was extremely allergic to bees as a kid.
Of course you are.
Carried an EpiPen.
No, of course.
I did a double dip because I was also extremely,
asthmatic.
Asthmatic. So anything, like I could just stop. I walked outside and sometimes I just preventively jab both legs with a dip.
But there's nothing that's less cooler than you have your EpiPen and you have your inhaler. You know, you're just like, it's not a good look. No, you want to hide that thing, but just in case of emergency, you have to tell somebody, hey, if I get stung, you know, here's my EpiPen. Yes, Paul.
The upside of those things, you never have girls bothering you. Those icky girls.
This day in sports history, Paulie.
It's a classic day. In 1986, Walter Payton of the Bears became the first NFL player with 20,000 total yards.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Okay.
That's it. Just to say the name, 2002, Ron Tugnutt, one of my favorites.
Ooh, yeah.
Used to call him back in the day.
Yeah.
First NHL goalie to win a game for 7 different teams. Tugnutt.
Ron Tugnutt. Saw more rubber than a used tire salesman. Yeah. I think I said that one night in a highlight. He saved like 56 shots. And I just remember I was so fired up just because his name's Ron Tugnutt. And Ron Tugnutt, he saw more rubber than a used car, used tire salesman or something like that. And I remember, it might have been Oberman looking at me like, what? Like, yeah. Yeah, Paul.
You and Keith used to get fired up with Hobby Boolin.
Nikolai Hobby Boolin. Yes. Nikolai Kabibulin. Yes, McLovin.
Yeah, you guys knew hockey was the best because you could tell you needed to spice it up to keep yourself involved.
Oh, my God. Just to kind of like stay awake. Ilka Sinisalo. What was it, Petri Skriko or something like that? There were just all these names. I loved them. Like hockey names are the best.
LaFontaine.
Patty LaFontaine. Pat LaFountain. Let's see, anything else? Todd, you want to do your joke with J.R. Smith stepping on the bees?
Does that mean J.R. Smith got all bees this semester? Yeah! By the way, Ron Tugnutt was always in his crease, so that's why he would always get whistled. Ron Tugnutt. He was always in his crease. That was my other joke behind that one.
Once again, sometimes you just tap out. I mean, that's how we end the show.
Can I tell you what we learned?
Yeah, go ahead.
Philly Inquirer columnist Marcus Hayes says Ben Simmons is living his life like he's a movie character with no accountability because he's the one writing the script.
Yeah, I thought that was a great appearance by Marcus. McLovin, what did you learn?
Here's a conversation that never happened with a teenager. Hey, let's make out. Hold on, let me get my inhaler first.
Is that your EpiPen, or are you happy to see me? Seton O'Connor, what did you learn?
Football is fun.
Yes, it is, according to Justin Herbert. Paulie?
It's the year of football is fun.
Yeah. I think we got to make a t-shirt for Justin Herbert. Yes, McLovin.
You got to get that dude to go out and enjoy L.A.
Yeah. You know what? He's got plenty of time. He's only 23. How about he goes out when they have a Super Bowl parade? Todd, what did I learn on today's award-nominated program?
Justin Herbert may be considered a dual threat, but he'd be the first to tell you he's not the dual threat. His next opponent, Lamar Jackson, is.
Yeah, that's one of those where you go, now, he's a dual threat out there. I can run a little bit. He's a dual threat. What we learn, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Intelligence runs in the family. Not this family. Innovation runs in the family. Extraordinary runs in the family. 2021 Mercedes-Benz van, a range of SUVs. Every member is waiting to impress. Learn more at mbusa.com. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Thank you for your support, your patience, your understanding, your guidance, your love, your support. Talk to you tomorrow. One more item as we close out the show on this Tuesday. This past year brought a lot of change to our lives. And for some of you, that means changing jobs or maybe you're considering retirement. And if you're thinking about retirement, how about your retirement accounts? Do you have enough money to retire? What's that portfolio look like? Is it invested appropriately? Retirement's a big deal. And when it comes to investing for retirement, most people can't afford to make mistakes. Stifel's been helping clients like you manage investments for over 130 years. Your Stifel financial advisor can help you create a personalized retirement plan, understand your options for claiming Social Security, and implement an investment portfolio designed around your needs. Plus, Stifel clients have access to Stifel's award-winning equity research and investment strategy views, so you're going to make more informed decisions regarding your portfolio. You can find your Stifel Financial Advisor at stifel.com. It's spelled S-T-I-F-E-L. Stifel.com, Stifel Nicholas & Company, Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.